It is well with my soul. I thank the Lord for that. And we can have peace with God in the midst of a storm or trial, because God has certainly provided for us. We thank the Lord. Let's take our Bible this morning, if you would. We'll turn to the book of Ephesians today. Ephesians chapter number 4. And today I'd like for us to look at the goal of the gifts. We're talking about the gifts, of course, that God has provided for the church. And I'd like for us to look there in chapter number 4. We saw last time how the Lord accomplished His work. He ascended up on high. He led captivity captive, as mentioned in verse number 7. And He gave gifts unto men. And I'd like for us to look at this matter today, the giving of the gifts, of course. And what is the goal? We're talking about having gifts. Now, I want us to understand this matter of gifts as we see it in the book of Ephesians, written by the Apostle Paul, of course, while imprisoned in Rome. We find these gifts that are given here are for the purpose of the edifying of the church. It's for the body of the believers. And I'd like to kind of sort of clarify that in just a moment. But what we find in verse number 11, it said, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." So we find that there are four groups, we could say, I guess a group of people that He gave gifts to. He gave some as apostles. Now that word, I'm going to go back again and reiterate, an apostle is a sent one who is sent. In today's world, we talk about sending missionaries as being a sent one from the church. But in this day and time, as the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, he's speaking of those who were apostles in his day and time. And you can see, and I want us to see this, the progression of the early church. Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to encourage the church at Ephesus. And of course, his writing is an encouragement to us, the church today. We're talking about the universal body of Christ, all born-again believers being the church of the living God. We have a universal church that's made up of all born-again believers. There's no one lost in the universal church. All are saved. Then we have the local church. The local church would be a church like where you are attending today. We are a local body of believers. Sad to say, in the local church, they're lost people. I'm not talking about people who never attend church, who come to church and they've never been saved. I'm talking about people who are on the local church roll. They've been baptized, they're not saved. Stay with me. They came to church as an early age and someone else was baptized and they followed with them and they've heard the stories of Jesus. They know who He is. They know who God is. They have a head knowledge of the things of God, but they've never had a personal experience in their life. And Christ has never entered into their heart. They've never received the free gift of salvation. And so in the local church, you have lost people. But in the universal church, all people are saved. And we would that all people would be saved in the local church. That's why we need the reading and the preaching and the hearing of the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You hear what you need, who Christ is, who you are, and you respond to that in faith, receiving Christ, taking the free gift of salvation, believing in Him, surrendering yourself to Him, being obedient to His Word. If a man believes in his heart, if he confesses with his mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, that He's God's Son, God raised Him from the dead, he shall be saved. For with the heart, a man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto God. So we're not ashamed of calling Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. And in doing that, now we're part of the universal church. So at this particular time in Paul's ministry, he was an apostle. John the apostle was also living during this time when Paul was writing. So you had the apostles, you had the 11, excluding Judas. He was never an apostle. He was with them, but he was not one of them. And then we have the apostle Paul, who came in. We find that the office was filled there with Peter, as they selected the apostle to fill Judas Iscariot's place. But the apostle Paul, he says in his writings, he was one called out, and not at this particular time with the others. So after the resurrection of the Lord, the apostle Paul was called on his way to Damascus. The Lord Jesus Christ called him to be an apostle. And we find these apostles now. This is what he's saying. He gave some apostles. And those apostles in that day and time were sent ones. Being careful to note that particular office is needed no longer. We don't need an apostle today. We talk about the missionaries who are sent once, but we're talking about a particular office during that particular day as the church was being established. You see, as the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the church, as it's called by the Apostle Paul through the Holy Spirit, it started on the day of Pentecost as Peter stood up and he preached the word of God, that Jesus is the Messiah, that he was crucified, dead and buried, and he is the Son of God. And coming to faith in him, the church was founded, and now we have this universal church made up of all believers again who trust in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So those apostles, those 11 men, they had seen Jesus. They had heard him. They had lived in and during that time, including the Apostle Paul. No reason to think that the Apostle Paul had not seen Jesus. He was a Pharisee. He lived in that day and time. The Pharisees hated Jesus. They hated him saying that he was the Son of God. No reason to think that the Apostle Paul may not have been there when Christ was crucified. But he had not sat under the feet of the Lord like the apostles had and been taught by him until after his Damascus Road experience. We find the Apostle Paul was taught by the Lord through the revelation of Jesus Christ. And now he's a called apostle. So we have this office of apostles that he's speaking of that we have no more. And then he talks about the prophets. The prophets was a gift that God gave. He gave the apostles for the purpose of starting the church, getting the word out. You remember again the Apostle Paul. He started churches all across Macedonia, and his gospel was his preaching went to the Gentiles, and if you would, and now we've got the Apostle John. He wrote the book of the Revelation. You have the Apostle Peter who wrote books of 1st and 2nd Peter. You have those men now in that position or that office not being needed anymore. Why? Because the church is established and now we have the written word of God. People, we have everything we need right here in the 66 books that you and I call the Bible. There's nothing to be added to it. There's nothing to be taken away. If God is going to speak today, he speaks through his word, by his spirit. He may speak through a person who knows his word, but there is not a prophet today to come along and say, God told me this, and if it doesn't align with this Bible, with this word of God, he's a false prophet. And the fact of the matter is, it should take the scripture as it said in Moses' day, if someone prophesies something and it doesn't happen, they're to be stoned. That's what the word of God says. So today we don't have prophets, so to speak, in this office, where they're going about prophesying of things of God. But what we do have is we have the recorded, written word of God, which is the revelation of God. This is what we call specific revelation. Specific. We talk about a specific book, a specific chapter, a specific verse, a specific word. Now we have general revelation, which you and I see. The heavens declare the glory of God. We see the general revelation that there is a God, that there's a creator, but it's the specific revelation that you and I have today to reveal to us the truth of God. We don't need a prophet. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm saying that office is done away with. The office of the apostles. In someone saying, I spoke with our guest this morning from down at Claremont, Florida. I said, I've been down there to the Indian reservation, the Brighton Indian reservation. They're the Seminole Indians. They are somewhat pride. They're telling me, they said, you know, we're the only ones that never were moved. And they were. They were never moved. Those Indians hid in the cypress swamp in the time of the moving of the Indians out west and being moved from their homes. They're still there, the Seminole Indians. And I had the opportunity to go down there many years ago for a week and preach a prophecy conference. You say, well, you're a prophet. No, I'm not a prophet. But I can, under the authority of God's word, I can tell you what God says is going to happen according to his word. Now, again, I'm not to add to or take away. But people do want to know, and we should want to know, shouldn't we? I want to know what's going to happen. We had a severe storm come through last night. I mean, a line of severe weather. I'm not going to stick my head in the ground and say, well, whatever happens, it happens. If someone says, we've picked it up on radar and we've got these storms that are coming and it's the weather and all of these things are suitable, then you and I should take heed to what's being said. That's not saying that they're a prophet. No, they're reading what they have already seen taking place, and it makes good sense that this is going to happen with the weather. Well, we have the Word of God that's been preserved for us that tells us of certain indicators in the days or the last days prior to the return of the Lord. So to take that to someone who doesn't know that and to give that out as a prophetic word according to God, that's not being a prophet, so to speak, but that's giving out the revelatory truth of God to those who do not know. And they want to know, many people do. What are the signs of the times? What are we seeing today as we see this world, as it seems to be coming together in a way that things that the Lord said would take place prior to his return? So that prophet could be today a man of God, someone who has studied the Word of God. They see the things of God, and they see how they line up to become the revelatory truth of what is going to happen in the future. But as far as that office is concerned anymore, we don't need that office for someone to come up and say, God told me to tell you this. If God has anything to say to me, folks, he's going to say it through his word. It may be through someone else, but it's going to be aligned with his word. Anything other than that is not truth. God's word is truth. So we find in the word of God, God says this, God says that, and the Holy Spirit takes that as it's being given according to the word of God, and the Holy Spirit says, that's truth. What he's saying, that's truth. That's why people need to come under the voice of the hearing of the word of God, so they can be saved, because the Holy Spirit, when the Word of God goes forth and says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, Holy Spirit says that's truth. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The Holy Spirit says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Holy Spirit says that's truth. And the person saying, that's me. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. And so the Holy Spirit does his work. And then we find out it's not through the office of an apostle or the office of a prophet. He said some and some evangelists. That's where the evangelist is the one who knows the word of God. He's the person who goes forth. And the evangelist is what we would call a soul winner. He has been gifted by God. This, again, these are the gifts that Christ has given. He's given these gifts. These are not gifts, that, so to speak, to all believers, but in this particular realm, what we're looking at is this is how God has given these gifts for the purpose of the church. He's called and given this gift of evangelism to this person. And this person knows how to say the appropriate word, being led by the Spirit of God, that can ring someone's bell. They come to church, they've never been, or maybe it's been years, and the Holy Spirit is using them, and they're sitting on the edge of their seat. They're feeling the flames of hell licking them at the time when he says how hot hell is. He has a way to do that, why God has gifted him for that. That is his gift as an evangelist. And he wins souls in numbers. And that's a gift given that Christ gave after he ascended on high. And then the other one is, he said, and some pastors and teachers. And that's not, as someone has said, there's not a comma between pastors, comma, and teachers. It's pastors and teachers. The pastor should be a teacher. He needs to know the Word of God. And this is a gift, again, of how God works. He gives this gift of pastoring, caring for the sheep. That's the under-shepherd. He's the under-shepherd of a flock that God has over him. That's why the universal church, of course, is made up of local churches where there are pastors. The pastor is the under-shepherd. He cares for the flock that God has entrusted to him. He knows the sheep. He knows the people. He listens to the people. God speaks to the pastor and he says, this is what you need to preach on, because the people that are under your care, this is what they need to hear. And so the pastor, he's in fellowship with his people, and at the same time, he knows what they need. He knows how to present it. God gives this in the teaching ministry, so that's very important. In seeing this, and I have a problem with pastors who jump from one church to the other. That's just giving you that little side thought. It didn't cost you a dime. Here's a guy who wants to take a church to go to a bigger church, to a bigger church, to a bigger church. No chapter and verse of that, sir. God called you to pastor his people. You stay where God called you. You do the work of the pastor teacher. And then, of course, the question of this, as we look at the goal of the gifts, is why? Why did he call these particular people? He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, he's talking about the perfecting of the saints. This is a completed process. A completed process, not a progress in work kind of thing. Perfecting means to reach a completion. God has a place for a pastor to lead God's people, to bring them up, to equip them to stand strong in their faith. That's what the pastor is to do, the pastor teacher. He's to take the Word of God. He's to show you what God says. He's to show you how you can do what God wants you to do, how you can become what God wants you to become. And he's doing this as a work to be completed. It's to try to bring us to that point, bring us to that age of maturity. And again, the pastor is to see that in conversing with the people. You meet your people, you talk with your people, you understand how they feel. Hey, I know how you feel today, folks. I don't know about you, but I could doze off, but not right now. I didn't sleep well last night. I mean, the storms were coming, and we had the alarms go off just like you did, and I heard the thunder, I saw the lightning, and I'm up and down all night. It's 1:30, it's 3:30, it's 3:45, here it is, and then I had power and my clock went off at 6. And I thought, Lord, I need to go back to sleep. So I know how you feel today. The pastor knows how the people feel. He senses through the Holy Spirit of God what they need to encourage them and to equip them to become complete in our salvation. This is what God has, this is the gift that Christ has given. Think with me. He's given these gifts. He led captivity captive, being Satan. He has defeated Satan. He defeated Satan at the cross when he said, "It is finished." Satan's over and done with. Okay? But he's still working today. And he's working on the world, of course, with the lost, but he's working on the child of God. And by the end of this letter, we're going to find how the child of God is to stand against Satan. But this is a growing process of completion. So what we see is God has given the gift to lead and to encourage us how to stand, how to grow, how to challenge you into the things of God. If a baby is not growing, you can't come home with an infant child, and this child is not gaining weight, the child is not growing, something's wrong somewhere. And it may be in the diet. It may be that whatever the baby is being given. And so we find the same thing. Peter talks about there are those who ought to be eating meat. They ought to be growing in their faith, and yet we find they're still on the bottle with milk. Some aren't insure. They need to be on meat. But anyway, you need to know that. And the pastor ought to see that. We've got to get you growing. And Peter, and this, by the way, this is the word of God. He gave that for the purpose for us to understand we ought to be growing. I'm to teach you as you would a child. You teach your child how to, this is a fork. This is not really, but let's make believe. Here's a fork. You hold your fork a certain way. You know, you don't, some just dig. They just dig. You, most of the time you say, well, let's hold a spoon a certain way. But what we do is we'll take it. And we put it to our mouth, and we find out this is how we feed. You know, the baby to begin with, the baby's sitting in the high chair, and they just take it and they just sling it. And you give them a spoon, and they take the spoon, and they sling it. And then they take the spoon, and they sling it this way. But so you need to teach it. Don't do that. You might have to give them a little tune up. This is how you hold it, and this is what we do. We feed ourselves. Now, as you learn to feed yourself, if you grow weary, if you grow faint, whose responsibility is it? If you're not eating, you know that you need to eat. You know you need to drink liquid. But sometimes we have to come along and encourage. You've got to get back in. Get back into the Word of God. We see this, pastors do. They see their people growing weary. They see them growing faint. They're not as strong in their faith. And that's why we encourage you. Hey, we need to have you back in church. You need to get back in church. You haven't been in church lately. We've missed you. And when you're not there, you're missing a meal. And you're going to grow weary. And Satan, by the way, he's going to attack you. And he's going to beat on you. And there's strength in numbers. So this is what God has done through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given the gifts for the perfecting of the saints. Saints are born again believers. For the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? The work of the ministry is that you and I would take in the things of God, and then we would take them out into a lost world and share them with others, that they may come to know Christ. That's the work of the ministry. This gift of raising and edifying, of perfecting this matter of a certain age. Again, the perfecting is coming to an age. Reminds me of the story back in John chapter 9. You remember that the Lord had give healing there to this one. And they called the parents and said, well, is this your son? The Pharisees did. And he had been healed by the Lord. Is this your son? How did this happen? And they said to the Pharisees, said, he is of age. That means he's a big boy now. He's grown. He is of age. Why don't you ask him yourselves? That's the same word, age, that's used in that scripture. It's used with this idea now of growing to the fullness of Christ, to the stature of Christ, for the perfecting of the saints, for the ministry of the Lord, he said, to the edifying of the church. And how long does this continue? I mean, do we get to the place? He said, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's a process where we grow and we grow and we grow. And as we said in Sunday school, one day we'll be like Christ. When will that be? When He shall appear, we shall be like Him. When He returns for the church, you and I are going to be like Him in that very moment. Glorified, resurrected body. Those dead in the grave, they're going to be raised. And those that are alive and remain will be caught up to join the Lord in the clouds and meet Him in the air. And we're going to see the Lord in the air and meet Him there with the clouds. We're going to be with the Lord, and we'll be at full maturity of knowing the things of God. But until that time, you and I should grow. We ought to be growing in our faith. And this is what the gifts are given for. And He says in verse number 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See, the purpose of our maturity, the purpose of the gift given as a pastor teacher to teach and to train, the purpose of that is so that we won't be swayed by the things of the devil. See, the devil is, he's been defeated. Christ said the work is finished, but Satan is still working in the world today. He can't take a believer's salvation, but he can take your joy. And it's said, a believer that's not walking in the Spirit of God, that's in disharmony with the Lord, is a miserable person. They've lost their joy. Nothing's good anymore. Everything, it's always something's wrong with this and something's wrong with that. They have lost their sense of joy. And Satan is pounding. This is what the problem is. This is what the problem is. And the problem is they need to get back into the fellowship. They need to get back into the food. They need to start feeding themselves. They need to start taking the truth of the Word of God. And they need to start abiding in Christ. They need to allow the Holy Spirit to give them joy and peace and not be carried about with every wind of doctrine. This is what He said now. He says that Paul identifies himself there. Not that they, but he said that we, henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men. That word sleight in the Greek is a square cube. What do we know about a square cube? They got a little square cubes with little dots on them. They call them dice. They cast the dice. People gamble. They take dice and they gamble. And to see the trickery of it. A lot of times people have what they call loaded dice. You've heard that. They take them and when they hold them a certain way, it always hits what they want them to hit. And they always win. That's the way Satan operates today. He has a sleight of hand. This may look okay. It may look appealing. Think about it, young people. It may look appealing right now, but in the long of it, what's it going to be? See, in deception, many people, he's talking about believers. Believers have been deceived by Satan. We find, I don't know the statistics at this very present time, but we find that a lot of people who are members of cults were in Baptist churches. And I'll hit on the Baptists, okay? They were members of Baptist churches, a large number of them. But now they belong in the cults, whether it be Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness. How did that happen? That's the question. Did they lose their salvation? If they're saved, they didn't. But they've been deceived by the wicked one. There's another Jesus. There's another way. if you'll do this, then God will do that. That goes contrary to the work of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the Son of God, not a Son of God. And the devil gets in and he tosses. Just this, think about the wind last night, the way it roared and the way it was blowing in a sea of being churned up and that being tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. It's amazing how that people can take part of the scripture. And that's the danger again of eisegeting the Bible. Exegeting is reading out of the Bible. Ex being out of, it's reading out of the Bible. What does the Bible say? Eisegeting is reading into the Bible, making it say something that it doesn't say. See, they'll come knocking on the door and they'll tell you, they say, I have a Bible. But you, if you don't know the Word of God, you'll find that there are specific verses that they have tweaked. They changed a word. Such as, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. They say the Word was a God. What's the difference? A God could mean anything, couldn't it? See, but here's the person, they say, well, I've been in church, and I remember reading as a kid those things, and that's what it says, according to them. And the sleight of hands, and the working, and this is what he goes on to say, in cunning and craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, he says, is henceforth speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So what we're to do is, we're to be on guard. We're to know the things of God, and we're to know that we're not there yet, but we're growing. As a child of God, you and I are growing, and we're growing together to the head. Christ is the head of the church. He's the perfect one. And you and I are growing up to Christ. And folks, the more you, the closer we get to the Lord, isn't it wonderful? The more wonderful it is as we think about being more like Christ. That doesn't mean that Satan doesn't tempt us. That doesn't mean that we don't have trials and problems, but we're growing in the things of God. And it's a wonderful thing. When we begin to read the scripture ourselves and we find, as someone said, a nugget of truth, something that just stands out right at the appropriate time that we need it, something as if the Lord spoke to me today and this was what I needed for this very moment and hour. It's a nugget of truth. And we're growing and we find that. And then we want to take that and share it with someone else. You know, I was reading the other day, bless the Lord, let me tell you what I found. Share that with someone else. It does my heart good when people say, preacher, you know, I was reading this and it never had occurred to me. And sometimes a preacher says, I've been preaching about this for 20 years, but finally it's said. And I said, wow. And we say, praise the Lord, they finally got it. But that's the way the Word of God works. So we feast on it, and we do this, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up to the head. Verse 16, he said, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So it takes every part of the body to do its part. It takes every part of the body. You're talking about the joint supplying. You're talking about the strength. Think about the human body is an amazing thing. I was down at my eye doctor on Friday. Just the eye itself, or just any particular part of the body. Praying for the girl today about the situation with the optic in her eye. Eyesight's a wonderful thing, people. One day we'll have complete, no more glasses. It's going to be better than it's ever been, praise the Lord. No more hearing devices. We'll be able to hear better than we've ever heard. Everything's going to be right. But right now, the body, when there's something that's not working properly, whether it be your ears or your eyes or what, it affects your whole body. Sometimes people say something, I think it's something else. And I don't need to keep continuing to ask, but sometimes I just don't hear it right, people. But when everything's working right, the body's functioning properly. Christ is the head. He is, the head is the brain. It's in control of everything over our body. He's the head. You and I make up his body. What he wants us to do is to demonstrate his love to the world. The goal of the assessment we talked about just a few weeks back, we talked about being employed in this matter of working for the Lord. We are. He said, I beseech ye that we would take this calling, this employment that God has called us into, and we would fulfill our position. We're all different. As I said earlier, Paul said in one place, in Corinth, the hand can't say to the eye, we don't need you, or the foot say to the ear, we don't need you, or what. It takes all of us working together to bring this body of the Lord into completion, to carry out and do the work of the Lord. But when the body of Christ is functioning as it should, we're reaching people to come into the body. We're calling people. We're telling people that God loves them. And by the way, this is demonstrated through our love for other people. This is what Paul has said prior in this letter. This mystery that he has written of is that the body is made up of Jews and Gentiles. It's made up of all people, all cultures, all colors. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ is one body that is loving people around the world for the purpose of winning them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the goal of that, of course, is that we fulfill our responsibility that the Lord has for us. And, of course, how do we do that? The proof of that is speaking the truth in love. Sometimes speaking the truth in love means you have to tell somebody how it is. I mean, they don't want to accept it, but you have to speak the truth in love. I shared that with the Sunday school class of that scripture back in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6, says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes you have to go to someone and you have to kind of set the record straight. It's not easy. You know, I find the most difficult people to speak with about the things of God are the people that's closest to me. Sometimes family. Why family? Well, because your family knows who you really are. See, they don't see you just when you're in the pulpit preacher or at church. They see how you are when you're not at church. But sometimes we have to go to people. And we have to be in love saying, I want to tell you, if you can continue to do what you're doing, you're going to destroy your life. You keep living the way that you're living, and you may go home early, going to the things of God. You're a child of God. You're not walking with God. God can't take you home. It's not easy. But you have to show that love. And this is what he said, faithful are the wounds of a friend. It may cut deep sometime. And if you've been cut before, I have. Someone will say something, and you said they're right. They were right. They were right. You may not ever do it, and then again you may. You may go back one day and say, you probably don't remember this, But a while back you said something, and you were right. And because you said that, it caused me to pause and to think about it. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and because of what you said, I'm back in church. I'm back walking in the Spirit. I'm back allowing God to use me as a testimony. But folks, we have to do it in love. And that's what he said. The gifts are given so that this body can function in a proper way. Lord, help us to do that. Let's stand together today as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning. We need the help of God in every word that's been said today. As we contemplate the things of the Holy Spirit, I pray today if there's one here among us that has never trusted Christ, may be a member of a church, but they've never been saved, I pray today that they would receive the gift of salvation, ask Christ to save you, repent of your sins, and turn to Him. Maybe some here today that have lost the joy, saved, but somehow the devil is... He's been pounding you, and you're not—you don't have the peace that you once had. Today, you can have that. The Lord said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come back to me. Come back to His Word." Maybe you're here today, and you're living in the joy of the Lord. And praise God, Lord, help us to do that more. Help us to fulfill Your desire for our lives in this place called time. Lord, that we would complete the work that You have for each of us to do. Lord, that You would receive the glory and honor for what we do and how we do. And we pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.